We ask that you speak your word to us in due season tonight. And we ask that your name be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands and once again say, Father, speak to me tonight. Minister to me tonight. And let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise. And you may be seated. Very quickly tonight, we shall be proceeding in our conference, this youth conference, World Youth Conference, whose theme is Discovering Purpose and Deploying Potentials and Fulfilling Destiny. Tonight we'll be looking at Foundation for Fulfilling Destiny. Foundations for Fulfilling Destiny. Open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. Okay, so that means I shall be reading. Okay. Proverbs. It says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Open to Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Go on. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Just go on. We're going to read. Okay, let me just read here. Let me make that faster. So, now, he said to him, now, but Daniel had proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, for 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than of all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzer took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four young people, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuch brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king required of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and all the astrologers that were in their realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first reign of the king Cyrus. God is about to move somebody tonight into the realm of being 10 times better in the name of Jesus. Today, God is about to transform and transpose and transwind somebody's life and destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. We understand today that God was not absent-minded in our creation. If you were conversant with what the senior pastor shared with us yesterday, and our present life on earth, I want you to understand this, is like a dot in a line that leads to eternity, or that is your existence. Let's put it that way. That is on a straight line, which is all the way through eternity, forever and ever and ever. The life we are living here on earth is just a dot at the beginning of that straight line. Unfortunately, many people leave their one dot on the straight line as though that were the beginning and the ending of every existence. Can you imagine that at the edge of this staircase here, right here, at the very point here, is the beginning of life and existence. And if you could equate it, the whole of that line, all the way there, is life and eternity. A little point here, a little dot here, is what people are living for at the detriment of the entire line that is eternity. After life has ended here, it is just beginning. And for us to be able to meaningfully leave these dots of the portion on that linear line that is forever and ever and ever, understanding our purpose and functioning in that purpose, understanding our potentials and manifesting that potential, is a vital requirement. And so tonight, we want to look at what the foundations are, or the foundations required for fulfilling destiny. We are looking at the topic, foundation for fulfilling destiny. And as way of objective, we want to understand what are those foundational facts or points that we need in order to live and exist and fulfill destiny and to maximize our potentials. Number one is love for God. To love God. Many people say they love God, but their lives do not reflect that love. If you open to Joshua chapter 22 and verse 20 and verse 5, in Joshua 22 and verse 5, there was this, do I call it a parting instruction from Moses to Joshua, and he said to him, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, has charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. The fundamental requirement was to love. The rich young ruler in Matthew came to meet Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the rich young ruler said, oh, I already do that. I've done this, I do this, I do that. But beloved, the fundamental love for God is the fundamental criteria for a life that will fulfill destiny the way God wants you to fulfill it. If you must fulfill destiny as God wants you to fulfill it, then you must love God. Number two is existing in faith. Existing in faith, believing that He is. Believing that what He said is what it is. The Bible makes it very clear. Four different references in scriptures. In Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. It says the just shall live by his faith. The same thing in Romans 1:17. The just shall live by their faith. The same thing in Galatians 3 and 11. The just shall live by their faith. The same thing in Hebrews 10:32. The just shall live by their faith. So without faith, there can be no true living. The just shall live by their faith. Living a life of faith is a foundation for fulfilling destiny. It's a foundation for maximizing your potential. It's a foundation for becoming who God has created you to become. Number three is existing in holiness and integrity. Existing in holiness and integrity. Ensuring that your life is characterized by holiness and integrity. Living a life of holiness, a life of integrity, is a vital requirement, a vital foundation for you to exist in destiny fulfillment in the way that God has created you to exist. The Bible tells us in Isaiah and in chapter 52 and verse 11 says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. One of the things that we have not been able to emphasize, and we have not seen being emphasized in this current generation, is living a life of holiness. Sometimes a wave comes, wave of grace teaching. If people can do what they want to do, I don't need to repeat it because it doesn't hold water. But living a life of holiness is vital. You must come to the point where you understand that as I am the vessel of God. I am the dwelling place of God. And that vessel that carries God must live a life that is devoid of sin and compromise and living the standards of the world. We are in a society where a lot of things become permissible. But beloved, that it is popular does not mean it is permitted by God. The word of God is your surest criteria. It's your surest credentials. If you are in doubt, consult the word. If you are in doubt, consult the scriptures. If you are not sure, find out what does God have to say. When you have found out what God has to say, then you can walk by what God has to say. And beloved, never be a victim of taking one scripture out of context and interpreting it by your human understanding without reference to other scriptures. The Bible says that the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. A life of holiness. Ephesians 5, in case you say, oh, but that's Old Testament. We're in times that are not like it was in the Old Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 5, you see the same thing. It says, for ye know that no warmonger nor unclean person nor covetous, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ in God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Beloved, there is nothing called white lie. There is nothing called a little sin. There is nothing that can be explained away from the standards of the Lord. This is hard gospel. You don't hear it often. It's nice. You like nice preaching, like you shall make it. All those nice things. But beloved, if you must stand the test of time and you must reach the mark that God has mapped out for you, A life of purity, a life of holiness, a life of integrity cannot be compromised. In our university days, we had people who there was a lot of indulgence. Today, we don't know where they are. We don't know what has become of them. You know, I was talking with one of my children the other day, and we're just talking, and she was like, "How blessed you are that God made you not to miss the way, and you and Daddy got married, and he's such a wonderful husband, and so on and so forth, and all that." And I said, "I guess for me, God knows that I love him." My volume wasn't enough before. Can I continue? I said, "I've always loved God, though." And we were laughing. "I've always loved God. From when I gave my life to Christ, I have always loved God." I remember that in secondary school now, that is, I gave my life to Christ 1979. For the first time. And then, of course, I rededicated to Christ in 1989 while in the university. And I said that I remember then in secondary school. You know, how many of you used to have social nights? They used to have social nights in secondary school. But we decided to be so spiritual. The Christians amongst us, we were so, you know what they used to call in those days, jim-jim. So when they said everybody should go to social night, where they were doing all manner of things and all, we the Christians said, "We are not going. We cannot touch we shall not touch the unclean thing," blah, 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 blah. And I remember there was a particular day that I was now in Form 4. And there was only one class to the last class. That was Form 5. We used to end secondary school in Form 5 then. And the class just before mine were the people that were prefects. But they came to the dormitory that all the born-again Christians that refused to come for social night were to serve punishment by crawling from their dormitory to the... it was the dining hall we used to use, not the library. The dining hall, that was what they used. And that's like a distance of probably from here to maybe like the junction, you know, the junction to the express. And you know, the school wasn't tarred or whatever, interlocks were not there. So it was generally rough ground. And so you were crawling on your knees on pebbles and stones and sand, and it was a gruesome thing. And you know what we were telling ourselves? We are suffering for Jesus. If we knew better, I would have shouted on all those prefects and told them to go and jump in the lake. You know? But what am I saying? I'm saying that, you know, that there has to be that fundamental stand for God. It has to come from inside of you, not influenced by another. I remember one time we had to go back for holiday, and the school had organized for all of us to go together in the bus and all, and then we were to join the train. That was the first time I went with the school team that was going, because, you know, that was the first time I was going in that direction for the holiday. And we had to stop over from my secondary school, Federal Girls in Bakori in Kaduna State, into Kano, where we were to join the train. And the Federal Government College, Kano, were doing party. Real party. It was their own social night to close the term. And they said that we were visitors and everybody was to go. We said, "Never. We can't go. Blah, blah, blah." And the people of that school came and began to berate and look down and talk down. And we stood up that time to tell them that there's going to be a difference between us and them. Beloved, until you take a stand for Jesus, and your world knows that you stand for God, there will be no distinction between you and the people of the world. That was story time. Let's get back to the word. Praise the Lord. Number five is exist in humility. I did number four. I said that's existence in holiness. Oh yeah. So I skipped number two. Number two is exist as a representative of God. Existing as a representative of God. So that's now number four. existing as a representative of God. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, where we read, Daniel and his contemporaries said, "We shall not defile ourselves with the portion of the king's meat." That then was considered as something that had been sacrificed to idols, and they didn't want to associate with those idols because they sacrificed those meat and all those things to idols in idol worship, in worship of Baal and all those. And then it was that same meat that they brought and cooked for them to eat, and they felt that there had to be a distinction and a representation and a standing out for Jesus. Now you remember Queen Esther also in the Persian Empire, all in this region, in this time, in this era, in the scriptures, she stood out for Jesus. Now, by the time that they had gone through the time of purification and all, and they were to be taken to the house of the to see the king, the Bible says others requested all manner of things. Many of those things were idols and things that were being made available for all of them. But they said that Esther requested nothing except what the prince of the eunuchs gave to her. She went there, stood her ground, made a stand for her God. Her identity was clearly not of the world. It was clearly decided for God. And when there was a problem in the Persian Empire, she said, "I and my maidens will fast likewise." Go fast for 3 days without food, and I and my maidens will also fast likewise. It was her habit. I'm going to talk about that in one of the points that we'll be making later in the future. So being a representative for the kingdom, a representative for God, is vital foundation for existing in the realms of destiny fulfillment and fulfilling your potentials. Number 5 now is existing in humility. And we're looking at 1 Peter. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we'll look at verse 5. He says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." One of the problems that we encounter in our generation is pride. Once people have seen a little bit of success, a little bit of glory, a little bit of the help of God, they become very proud. And beloved, pride is a killer. In Daddy's message, the senior pastor's teaching yesterday, you remember he taught about Lucifer being puffed up with pride. Lucifer had everything embedded in him. He had worship instruments. He had everything embedded in him. He was made from carbuncles, gold and diamonds and all manner of precious stones. And the pride made him want to exalt himself above God. Beloved brothers and sisters, the higher you want to go in life, the more humility you need to get you there. That foundation of humility is a vital requirement in your construction of life. It is one of the strong pillars that you stand on, that your building and the construction of your life will rise on. The more your potentials, the more your giftings, the more the blessings of God upon your life, the more humility you must embrace. Father, I make demands on your humility to be like Jesus, who counted himself of no reputation and came down to take the form of man. Lord, help me. Everything I see around, let it just be there, but let me focus on you and know that I am nothing and nobody apart from you. Beloved, until we begin to see ourselves in the eyes of God, we will be. It is easy to become victims of pride and arrogance and ostentation. Beloved, ensure that you live in humility. Embrace humility. Guard it. I think it was Oral Roberts. You know, I'm not very good with names like Daddy is. His mother told him, remain small in your own eyes. Remain small in your own eyes. Where God is taking you is still far. Tell your neighbor, where God is taking you is very far. Anything you have seen now is shadow. Let pride be put away from you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Number 6 exist in prayer. Exist in prayer. Exist in prayer. You know the story of Paul and Silas. At midnight they prayed and they sang and the Holy Ghost came down and God joined them in that prison and their chains were broken. Exist in prayer. There are so many references to prayer. We'll not be able to take all that now because of the time that we have at our disposal. But a life of prayer is a key to rising and staying up. It's a key to fulfilling potentials. It's a key to being who God wants you to be. It's at the place of prayer that God can give you direction. It's at the place of prayer that God can show you which way to go. It's at the place of prayer that God can give you every desired gift that you need to take you to your place in life. At the place of prayer was where Jesus received the strength to carry out his ultimate purpose for coming to the earth for mankind, which we're about celebrating Friday, Easter Fridays, Easter Sunday and all that. It was at the place of prayer. That was the same time that he said to his disciples, "What? Could you not watch with me even 1 hour?" 1 hour is a basic minimum. Basic minimum. Calculate it. Put it into your schedule. Some of you are students. Some of you are career people. Some of you are businessmen and businesswomen. Some of you work with government. But whatever it is that you do, prayer is a key to acceleration. It's a key to rise in life. And it's a key to keep you up when you get up. You never come to a point where you have so arrived that you don't need to pray again. You don't come to a point where maybe you are in ministry or something and I have a prayer band that is praying for me. Oh, and I have prayer warriors that are interceding for me and so on and so forth. No, your prayer for yourself is more vital than anybody's prayer for you. Can you now say that somebody is eating food for you so you don't need to eat again? Ah, you will die of hunger now. Try it. Or you say, what are the other functions of the body? It's as vital to you as the vital functions of the human body is to the human being and his existence. Number 7 is exist in the Word. Do you remember what Paul said to his son Timothy? He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know when I knew that scripture? For some time in the university, here I was, Jim Christian, born again, I think that was like second year or so. And then, our fine arts teacher in secondary school came to UniJos. So one of my old Bakori, come and see, I can't even remember his name now. Come and see Mr. Whatever. Oh, everybody, all the Bakori girls were around. You saw your teacher. And I was now trying to preach to him. And I was preaching to him and telling him about Jesus and stuff like that. And then, now I know better. He was now asking, "Who gave birth to Mary? Who gave birth to Jesus? How can Jesus be born without Mary meeting a man?" He was talking those theology. And I was saying, I thought that you have to answer those kind of questions then. So, I said, "Well, whatever. But all I know is that I know you from secondary school. You are not born again. And you still look like you are not born again." He's no longer my teacher, so I could be bold, whatever. And then he now said, "You need to know your Bible. You need to know your Bible." I said, "Whatever it is, I know that this your argument is not the summary for you to choose to be born again or not. It's a matter of your choice." And then all that. So we all talked, and all the other girls said, "It's true, Mr. Musa." Sorry, whatever. I'm not supposed to call names here. So we all called his name. He's not a Muslim. But that was the name he bore. And so we all put him out and talked and talked. So I went back to my dormitory. And I said, "God, what was that all about?" And then God told me, led me to that scripture. "Study to show yourself approved. A workman that rightly divided the word." Your study is what will help you navigate your way through the issues of life. Not just at the place of evangelism. Not just at the place of ministering to somebody else. But in your own life path. If you want to avoid the way of shame, then take the way of the Word of God. If you want your steps to be led, then take the way of the Word of God. The Word of God has answers to everything. You know how they say in Yoruba, everything. Kwame the Kwame is covered inside the Word. You can't miss it. Anything in the Word. I love the book of Genesis. In my opinion, I think that Genesis has answered to everything. Minus the rest of the Bible. But it talks on any issue. God is about to lead somebody in the way that you should go. And give you answers to the questions of your life in the name of Jesus. Number 8. Exist under parental cover. Yes. Exist under parental cover. It's a great missing link for many people in our generation. Open your Bibles with me. Let's look at Exodus first. Exodus 2012. Exodus 2012. It's a great missing link in many people's lives. But it is a key to destiny fulfillment. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Some other renditions, the one in Numbers and all that, says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. This one specified the land that the Lord is giving to you. And if you go now up to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, if you look at that same teaching there, it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. If you are reading through the Ten Commandments that Moses was opportune to deliver to the children of Israel, they went one after the other. When it got to honor your father and your mother, there was now a clause that it may be well with you. And that was the first commandment that had a promise attached to it. And the scriptures here says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Your being under parental cover, particularly parents that are born again, and are leading you in the way of the Lord. Never look down on what they have to say. You come to a point that you begin to know more than them, right? You come to a point where you are more technologically savvy than they are. You come to a point, yeah, you are aware of more world trends than they might. But there is still the wisdom of age that you cannot buy in the market. I heard them say that, I think it was from senior pastor I heard, that I think it's a Yoruba adage. He says, it doesn't matter how many new clothes a young man has, he can never have as many old clothes as an old man. There is what they know that we don't know. There is what they have seen we didn't see. There's no use repeating the same mistake once. That means it has been made. It was a mistake made before. You don't do it again. You don't even do it for the first time. Learn from what they have to tell you. The teachings you receive growing up should never be discarded. Let it come up to your mind. I know the scripture says, teach a child the way he should go, and when he is grown, he will not depart from it. When those nudgings are coming up in your mind, you are about to take a step, and you hear the voice of your father inside of your ear, or you hear the voice of your mother inside of your heart, and say, don't do this, don't do that. pay attention to it, and the Lord shall grant you victory in the name of Jesus. Exist under pastoral cover. That's our point number 9. Existing under pastoral cover. Coming under the cover of a pastor. Coming under the accountability of a spiritual authority. Where you are in the university, there can be a campus fellowship, and there's campus leadership. And if you are in a dunamis campus fellowship, that means you are directly under the leadership of the senior pastor, or and you are listening to that cover, that instruction. You are paying attention to what the word of God is being taught to you from that altar. And number 10 is insist on the right company. Insist on the right company. Then Daniel kept a company that was right. He had Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were his company. Where there was a situation where the king had had a dream. The magicians and astrologers could not tell what the dream was, nor the interpretation. And the king threatened to kill all of them. When Daniel learned of it, he asked the king, "Give us some time. Let us pray about it. Peradventure, our God will hear us and answer us." And he went back, the Bible says, to his company. He went back to his brothers and said, "This is the situation. Let us pray." As they prayed together, God showed him. Don't forget that evil company corrupts good manners. The company you keep can make you or it can mar you. It can advance you or it can stagnate you. It can teach you right things or teach you wrong things. Nobody has ever started smoking cigarettes on his own accord. Somebody advised him, or he saw it somewhere. Maybe he watched it on TV or something and decided to try it. It was influence of company. Most young ladies don't go and start immorality. It's influence of wrong company. Same thing with young men. Wrong company. You shall not be a victim in the mighty name of Jesus. Please stand up on your feet this evening as we begin to talk to God. The message topic and the points enumerated are both an instruction and what to do, isn't it? So if we are to say, what are our keys or what do we do? Number one, live a life where you love God, isn't it? Number two, be a representative of Jesus Christ. Number two, be a representative of Jesus Christ. Number three, exist in faith. Be a person of faith. Number four, exist in humility. Number five, exist in holiness and integrity. Number six, exist in prayer. Number seven, exist in the word. And number eight, exist under parental cover. Number nine, exist under pastoral cover. And number 10, exist in the right company. Lift up your hands and let's talk to God tonight. Tonight, before I take my seat, within the next 1 minute, you want to say, "Pastor, quite a number of things that you have enumerated touch me, and I need Jesus to help me. I'd like to rededicate my life to Jesus. I'd like to be born again. I'd like God to help me to live a life that pleases Him. I want to become a genuine lover of God. Not because somebody is there or somebody is not there. I want to have a genuine relationship with God. I want to be able to stand my foot. I don't want to be ashamed to identify with Jesus." Anywhere you are, pick your bag and your Bible. Step forward here very quickly, very quickly. "Pastor, pray for me. I want to make my ways right with God. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be washed away. I want things to be made right with me and God." Anywhere you are, come forward quickly. Let us pray before we receive God's servant, the senior pastor. Oh. Hallelujah. I'm excited with both of you stepping out boldly to say, I want to stand for Jesus. I want to be born again. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I need your help. Jesus, please come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Wash away all my sins. Help me to live a life that pleases you. From today, I turn my back on sin. I live for you, Lord. I will please you with my life. I want to one day hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help me to please you in all that I do. In Jesus' name.